This is the Get Off Our Lawn Again.
Get off our
broadcasting
lawn
from Pod Bay, Ben Gay, somewhere close to sea level, at Geriatric Pantless Studios. We holler from our porches, shake our fists in anger, and mumble about how things go the way things used to be. This warms your brain to a comfortable 72 degrees, making you docile enough to accept the inevitable death of statism. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel
yes.
it, Michael and Lisa?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. In my old crotchety bones, I can feel it.
Lisa, your crotchety prednisone infused bones. I got those.
Yeah, yes. Started again.
Bip Cotton,
oh,
Jeremy.
Boy.
As always, the Get Off Your Lawn Agains is brought to you by is covered by the Bip Cotton, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except for governments. Learn more at bipcotton.org.
Yeah.
How are you guys?
Old and grouchy, apparently.
Well, that's me, so.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, seriously, everybody get off my lawn.
We're going to talk later about race realism, which is this new form of, like, racism that where you never say the N-word and you sound kindly and you never yell and you quote things that sound like science, but it's really just, it's just the same old collectivism in a new bag. But I kind of wish I were a race realist because the only I don't, but it would make one aspect of my life easier because, I mean, first of all, I live in like the whitest state in America, except for Vermont, which is white. But the only non-white people there are like babies adopted from Africa by Bernie Sanders voters. But so if I were a race realist, the only problem in my life is like loud kids in the summer playing on the lawns next door. And if I were a race realist, I wouldn't be upset by it. I'd be out there bringing them lemonade and patting them on the head and rustling their blonde hair and saying, "You are the future of the white race, child. Have some lemonade." Yeah, but I just hate kids in general.
Yeah, see, well, I don't hate kids. I have them. I used to be in that mindset.
You hate other people's kids?
I was going to say, because I was thinking, even as a race realist, I still may hit most kids besides mine. So
wait, are you saying you're a race realist who hits all kids? Did I hear that correctly? Speak up.
If I was a race realist, I would probably still hate all kids except mine, not hit them. I don't hit any kids.
I like kids more than adults usually. Depends on the kids and how old they are. But they're real, you know? They don't try to like
they're real.
Like, they just tell you like my daughter, when she was little, was the most honest kid. I mean, why does that lady have a mustache, mommy? Like, she would just say whatever. Kind of like that. But she would just say whatever, and I'm like, I don't want to stop her from doing that because she's honest. I mean,
yeah.
Really so, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't lie to you. They don't try to pull anything.
Well.
Well,
I don't know. See, I have almost 5-year-old twins, and maybe it's a twin thing, but they learned how to lie pretty early on because they tried to play the name switching game with me like 2 years ago. At like right after they first started.
Oh, wow.
You should just put a Bipcot tattoo on one of their foreheads. See, tell them apart.
Well, luckily I'm able to tell them apart. That would have come in handy when they were littler, maybe, but now.
Yeah.
Their attitude shines through, so I can always tell who's who. But yeah, I don't know. So, well, before we get to the race realism stuff, what else are we going to talk about?
The name of this show, this episode tonight, of the Freedom Fiends, and we're not really the Get Off My Lawn Agains. It's the. That's funny though. This episode is called "Watching America Go Down the Drain," which really sounds like the name of a race realist show. You know, like we're going to complain, "Watching America Go Down the Drain." The only reason I came up with that title is I just took an awesome picture tonight of my cat, who happens to be black. Why does he have to be black? Just he's black. I'm 164th black, by the way. So, but we're going to talk about that. I talked to a DNA scientist about race for about an hour tonight, and basically learned that there's no scientific basis for any quote unquote scientific racism, and have a lot of links. And Jeremy's going to edit the show tonight, but I'm going to do the post for the show because it's easier for me to paste in these 40 links than to send them to Jeremy to paste in. All right. So, yeah, but this cat picture is awesome. Like, we have new cats, and this one cat was feral. Like, I don't know if it was feral. It was 8 months old, and it was found outside and turned in to the cat catcher, and I adopted it. And about a month ago, got it fixed, got it shots, socialized it. And I don't think it was feral its whole life because it would be crazy, and it's just kind of crazy and became really likable really quick and acclimated to humans. But I think what probably happened was the economy's been going to hell in a handbasket in Wyoming, here in Wyoming, because the gas economy, the oil economy, is collapsed, and a lot of people have left town. And what I'm guessing is like somebody left town to go to another job in Oklahoma or something with their family, and you know, probably told their kid, "Oh, well, we can't take the Katie, we'll drop her off at the pound for you," and just dropped her on the street, you know. Aww. So I know, but I got a great cat out of it. But she's really, I almost feel like she's never seen a shower before, which is possible. Maybe the people she lived with, you know, never opened the door when the cat showered. But you know how pets sit outside the door when you close the bathroom door?
Yeah.
Always. There's actually a really funny meme of a cat sitting outside a door looking really sad, and it says, "It harms me when you shut the bathroom door." And I haven't, none of us, my wife and I haven't opened the door yet while either of us are showering. And we open the door from the shower, you know, steam comes out, and our cats are always right outside the door staring at us. My black cat immediately comes in, jumps in the bathtub, and looks down the drain for about 5 minutes.
Like, oh gosh.
Like, what is the, and then looks around. He's trying to figure out what it is. And I'm wet and the room's steamy. He's trying to figure out how this all works. I would consider leaving the door open and letting him in, but I'm really afraid he'll jump in the shower with me, freak out, and then like scratch me trying to get out. And I don't want to get scratched naked.
No, yeah. Ow. No, you don't. Yeah. Yeah, whenever they stare at something like that, I wonder what they see that I don't see, and it kind of freaks me out. It's like
Satan. They see Satan. Yeah. His basement cat looking at the portal to home, to hell.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It creeps me out. Yeah, because my cat would do that. She would just stare. I'm like, what?
I think it's hilarious. It doesn't freak me out. It just makes me go like, you guys are aliens. Like, dogs aren't like that. Dogs are like, you know, they so want to please you, and they're so like faithful, and cats are like, they just seem like aliens. They aren't as domesticated as dogs. Okay, here's my first like genetic thing of the evening before we get into the race realism stuff later. Dogs were domesticated by humans. Cats domesticated themselves to humans. Did you guys know this?
I think that's what makes sense to me. I mean,
dogs were like consciously trained, you know. Wolves were like bred to not be, you know, eating humans and to be useful. Cats just showed up as soon as agriculture started and humans started storing grain. Cats showed up to eat the rats that showed up for the grain. And then, you know, became companions with humans. But you know, they're still way more wild than dogs. Like, dogs will run into a burning building to save you. You know, dogs, if you die and they're locked in the house, they won't eat you generally. You know, cats will eat you after a day or two, and they will run out of a burning building to run to someone else. You know, they won't try to help you.
They don't care. They're kind of sociopathic.
They kind of are compared to humans, but they're not, you know, that's a human scale we're measuring them on. So
yeah,
Jeremy said internet just went down. So good. We can talk about him. What do you think about that guy?
Talk about him and his ageist opening tonight.
Yeah, man.
One of the old people.
Those young kids. And he's a dog person. He doesn't have cats.
So. Yeah, I was wondering about that. I didn't think that he had cats. But I bet
he's had cats, but he likes dogs more. So
I don't trust anybody who doesn't like cats.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about tonight, Lisa?
Oh, well, I'm kind of just disgruntled, like you said earlier.
And I'm cranky here. No one really grinds my gears.
I am so like that. This week, like the last week, it's been so crazy that I'm like, am I in some kind of alternate universe? Is all this stuff really happening? Are people really this oblivious? You know, that whole thing is happening, and I probably just need to step away from the internet and people and block people and not argue with them because it's a waste of my time.
I am amazed you do that, and you you complain about once a day of, I can't believe these people I'm arguing with on the internet. My answer to you is stop hitting yourself. You can't convince these people. The only thing you could possibly get out of it is you're proving to yourself like how brilliant you are. Just stop it, man. You have a radio show. Do you think Rush Limbaugh argues with people on the internet? No, he has them killed and then talks. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. He doesn't have them killed. But he just talks, you know, you have an audience here. Why do you talk about it on, why do you argue on the internet?
I don't know. It's a good question. I wish I knew why, because I don't, I guess I'm still kind of naive, and I think that I can, I've changed some people's minds. I've helped some people get there, but I guess I just always think there's a little bit of hope, and then people shatter that.
You know what I'll say? Here's
repeatedly.
I went through AA and in 94 and went to meetings till about 2006, and I'm still sober for 22 years. And, you know, I have a lot of criticism of AA, but there's a lot to be said that's good about it. And a lot of it relates to liberty for me and spreading the ideas of liberty. And one of the things I like in AA that I think really applies a lot to spreading the message of liberty is, in AA, there's a saying, don't tell them you're sober, show them you're sober. And the reason for that is because, first of all, like, people hate being preached at. And when you tell people, well, go out of your way, like, I'm sober and blah, 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 you know, like, it sounds self-righteous and turns people off. But the other thing is, like, anyone who's an addict or an alcoholic has probably spent most of their life quitting alcohol and drugs only to start again. So when you finally get into recovery and, like, actually stop and actually, like, study the reasons you had to use as much as you did till it almost killed you, and, you know, change your life around, and, like, really change, you know, your relatives have, you've already told them 40 times, I've quit, you know, so they don't believe it. Like, really, the thing to do is to, like, really get some recovery, and then, like, months later, they see you, and they're like, you look different, you look better, what's going on? You're like, well, I'm in recovery, you know. Yeah. So that's how I work, generally.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Two designs for
Fiendphone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch, now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Meow.
Hi, it's old people night.
It's old people night. Do you want to say how old you are? Yeah, I should never ask. Never ask.
Oh, I'm 46. I don't care if people know.
You're a youngin'.
Yeah.
I'm Fitty. Fitty too. I'm Fitty too. How did I get to be Fitty too? You know, it was my plan to be dead by 30 when I was like 17 to 27, probably. Because I thought, you know, I didn't ever want to get old. I wanted to be famous and dead by the time I was 30. And by the time I was 30, I was unknown. I was actually more famous at 27. I was in a hot rock band. It was signed to Warner Brothers and like touring the world. And then it broke up and like I just burned all my bridges and like no. And the internet wasn't around to like keep the band, you know, well known.
Yeah.
And so like at age 30, I was 2 weeks off heroin, finally able to sleep 4 hours a night, finally didn't feel horrible and like completely broke. Unknown and like starting over. It's kind of an and not dead, you know.
That's so,
so it's interesting. What yeah. Young yet clean?
Yeah, God,
really.
I had a kid at 22, and second kid at 30.
I had a kid at 19, and my kid later died of leukemia when she was 22 in 2006. Yep. So you wanted to talk about. Well, we want to talk about these strange times we're living in. So, you know, the other day, I've been doing this show for 5 years and I've been podcasting since like 2006 and, you know, putting my thoughts out to the world since I was 17 before the internet, you know, playing rock bands and stuff. And last night, I've known my wife for 11 years. Last night was the first time, or a couple nights ago, she said, careful what I was telling her my plans for the show notes for the night. It was the night we talked about like, what's the real meaning of the Second Amendment. It was the night after the police shootings. And she said, careful what you say tonight and this week. And I'm like, really? And I asked her tonight why she said that. I was like, you've never said that. And she's like, we're just living in a, you know, things are getting heated basically is what she said.
Yeah. People are freaking out about everything. And
yeah.
It's ugly. Yeah. I mean,
what'd your friend
timeline.
Do?
Well, okay. So my friend owns a website called The Organic Prepper and she's my best friend, totally sweet girl, really wants to help people, really caring. And she wrote an article about any like protests or riots or anything that may come up in your city and, you know, what to do to prepare for that and how to be safe and maybe avoid those areas and, you know, plan on staying home when those things are happening because, you know, She didn't really go into a lot of detail about protesters and cops. She just said there's been a lot of conflict. She didn't say anything racist. She didn't say anything really anti-cop or anything like that. But people on her Facebook page and on her website are absolutely freaking out in the comments. And one person said, I called the police on you because you're a racist. And she didn't say, she asked me, she's like,
I'm telling daddy.
Yeah. So she's got all these people who are reporting her to Facebook and threatening her and telling her that, you know, they're calling the police and they're going to have her shut down and unfollow this blog. And I'm scratching my head going, what? Like, she's the nicest person and only said positive things. Like, just be prepared in case this happens. And people are accusing her of lying and fear mongering. And it's just escalated. Yeah, I think people are just losing their minds.
They really are. And, you know, that is kind of a thing, too. That thing that's happening actually is of, like, denying the reality of that there is civil unrest, even, is one of the things that race realists talk about that is true, that kind of, like, makes the things they sound that are false sound true to some people. Like, if you don't know, so race realism is this new brand of racism that, like, you know, they wear suits a lot of times and they talk calmly and they never use the N-word and, you know, they're white and they talk about, I should play a little bit of this guy, Jared Taylor, as an example. I'll do it in the next segment.
Yeah, I haven't heard it. Okay.
Yeah. And like, I mean, this guy's kind of like the Jeffrey Tucker of racism. Now, Jeffrey Tucker's not racist at all, but he's kind of like well known in the liberty movement. Jared Taylor's kind of well known in the race realism movement. And they both like have, you know, they both have college degrees. You know, Jared Taylor's got a degree from Yale. He talks really calmly, but like, you know, KKK kind of people love him, but he doesn't come off like that. He comes off like a scholar.
Oh, gosh. So,
yeah. And like,
wow.
A lot of what he says is, you know, probably 40% of what he says is probably true. And then like 60% of it is just bat-ass crazy, but pretending to be science, you know? So,
I need to listen
but
to
part of what he says is true is like that people hide stuff about like civil unrest and stuff like, oh, that's not happening.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Talking about race realism, which has kind of taken over some small factions of libertarianism, like the whole he who cannot be named and alt-right. You know, a lot of those people were libertarians and then, like, you know, got upset with crime and blamed it on race and immigrants and got into this and are now backing Trump. And I'd put Molyneux in that camp too, almost. Actually, Molyneux has done some stuff on, he is a race realist, I would say. He's done some stuff on quote unquote scientific racism, which we're going to demonstrate later why there's nothing racist about it. And really, all this stuff is just collectivism to try to divide people. Like, people in power want everybody else fighting amongst themselves. You know, there's this guy named Jim Goad, who's often considered a racist. He wrote a book called, what is it called? The Redneck Manifesto, about 20 years ago.
Yeah, that name is familiar. Yeah.
He's a humorist. He used to be pretty funny. After since 9/11, he's gotten really unfunny, like a lot of people have. But you know, I mean, and his basic premise of the whole book, like some people would say it's a white pride or white power book. I've read it. I would say it's not. I would say the basic premise of the book is it's a whole book of humorous essays, really well written and intelligent, explaining why whites, and especially rural whites, and especially rural southern whites, are like the only group that it's still okay to be racist about. It's pretty much true. Like, you know, the Beverly Hillbillies kind of stuff. And there's, you know, that's an old example. But, you know, like I said on the show the other day that my wife got jewelry stolen probably by TSA when she was traveling on an airplane recently. And, you know, I said her jewelry is probably being worn by some lady named LaQuisha with long fingernails. And like, if anyone actually listened to this show, people would be trying to lynch or kill me right now. But people listen to the show, they just, for some reason, we just slip under the radar when we say funny things that, you know, would be, that are politically incorrect, but not racist, I would say.
Well, that's because we're cool listeners.
Right. But, you know, so you can't really say, like, oh, LaQuisha with the long fingernails stole it, because that's racist. But if you said, like, oh, we went into this bar and, you know, Cletus was in there and he was talking like this and telling me about his pickup truck, you know, nobody would bat an eye. Like, you can make fun of Cletus, you can't make fun of LaQuisha, you know?
Well, the name Cletus, and I mean,
it's an actual name, and so is LaQuisha.
I know.
LaSquisha. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I agree with his premise that, you know, you can make fun of whites and nobody else at this point. And
that's because white privilege, you know, you have all those privileges so people can make fun of you.
You know, I was trying to figure out, like, so I'm 164th black. This is a fact proven by DNA. I'm actually 164th African, which doesn't necessarily mean 164th black, although it does. But it's like what that DNA proves is the part of the world that I'm from, not necessarily skin color. Although if the relative I had for that part of the world from that time was almost certainly black. Mm-hmm. But race is a complex construct, even scientifically. And we're going to talk more about that later. But it's kind of true that race is what you identify. And also I would say what people identify you like, you know, I've been kind of asking the question like, okay, you know, I'm 164th black and a lot of people think that's funny. And like, it's not enough to really say you're black, you know, but, yeah. You know, Elizabeth Warren checked, you know, American Indian or Native American on a college application form to help get admitted to a college. And so she's 132nd. Yeah. Well, here's the thing, man. That was she's about my age. Every girl I knew when I was like 20 to 25 or probably 18 to 25, like every girl I dated or knew, like half of them told me that their mother or dad told them they were related to Pocahontas. That was like a lie people told their kids back then. Yeah. Like just before you. And, so I think that's what it was. Because she said like, oh, my family always told me we had Native American blood and heritage, but I never questioned it. I never asked for proof. And, you know, here's what I think the answer is. Like, you know, what percentage do you have to be black before you can identify as black? I think it's up to other people in a way. I think it's like if you've been called the N-word on the street, you get to call yourself black.
Yeah, you got street cred.
No, if you've been, you know, negatively, you know, if you've been verbally bashed or physically bashed for it, yeah. I think you can identify, you know. I had a girlfriend that was 1/8 black and she really didn't look that black, but people, you know, she'd been called the N-word before. Like she looked enough that she had been. Mm-hmm. So probably around 1/8, 1/4 for sure. But so all right, I'm not going to get into the proof and the science yet. Let me play this guy. I'm bearing the lead. So Jared Taylor is this scholar. He's like 64 years old. He has a degree from Yale. He looks very respectable. He sounds very respectable. And this stuff I'm going to play, like it's 100% true about governments hiding statistics of crime, but of racial designations of statistics of crime. And this is a really common thing. There's a lot of reasons it happens, especially in Germany, because Germany is so ashamed of, you know, Hitler that they are bending over backwards to be anything but, you know, to the point where like they're basically letting people in that are, you know, tearing up hell and raping people in mass. And then there's people that say like, this stuff didn't happen. And you're racist to even say it happened. But like, you know, there's video of people rioting and, you know, immigrants, just kind of doing what people do when they have no money and no food and you throw them into a big pile somewhere, you know, with no resources basically, which is, you know, and I'm not saying, oh, they should be given more resources. I'm saying like, and that's a whole nother complicated problem. And government is the problem. The reason there are all these refugees from Syria is basically because of Hillary Clinton, you know, because the civil war in Syria, which is her fault mostly, and, you know, governments. So let me quit bearing the lead and play some Jared Taylor here. Sit back and enjoy while Uncle Cracker tells you about the Negroes. That's basically what this sounds like. All right. This is horrible. All right. I don't like this guy. I'm just saying, like, I can see why this kind of thing is popular. Like, he's likable. He's like a grandfather. Like, tell me about the colored people. All right. Here he goes.
New Year's Eve, when hundreds of German women were surrounded by so-called refugees, surrounded, assaulted, groped, robbed, no fewer than 359 women filed complaints. That's this room and another 60. That's a lot of women. And we can imagine that many just slunk off home without filing a complaint. Well, as you will recall, the Cologne police authorities covered up the assaults. They didn't want anyone to know about them. But the news did leak out, and even the timid German press wrote a few shocked articles. And it was only after the Cologne scandal came out that it was revealed.
I got to say, this guy sounds so much like William F. Buckley. I swear they breed this in East Coast colleges,
weird
man.
Accent.
Yeah. Just like Jeffrey Tucker. Sounds like that. All right. Oh, let's hear some more.
That there were the similar, absolutely similar types of attacks in Berlin, Dusseldorf, Frankfurt, Hamburg, Stuttgart. All of them hushed up in every single city. Now, needless to say, ordinary Germans were outraged not only by the attacks, but by the cover-up. And this led to, let's call them pithy observations about Arabs on social media. And in turn, these pithy observations prompted the German Interior Minister by the name of Ralph Jaeger to say this: what happens on the right-wing internet platforms and in chat rooms is at least as awful as the acts of those assaulting the women. How can this be? Rude comments about Arabs are at least as awful as Arabs robbing and assaulting women. At least as awful. Who knows, they might be even worse, more awful. Getting angry at foreigners who push their way into their country and assault your women, that is at least as bad as assaulting women yourself. This is truly sick. I can't imagine a non-white person saying something so depraved. Only white people are capable of this kind of self-delusion and self-loathing. And most of the people, of course, pouring into Germany now aren't refugees by any stretch of the imagination. They have wrecked their own countries, and they are pouring in so that they can enjoy the benefits of a society built by whites. They have no more right to live in Germany than a burglar has to camp out in your living room. But apparently, only a racist would dare say, keep them out. And so when they behaved exactly the way the so-called racists said they would, then the police had to keep it a secret. It's better to hush up the truth than let the truth prove that the so-called racists...
Wow.
So what do you think of what he's saying?
That part... the thing that he said about the people, the refugees destroying their own country and leaving because they wanted to benefit from things that white people built. Is he talking about Syrian refugees?
I don't know. There's problems to me with things he says. A lot of it is the collectivism, like the are women, the this, the that. But it's I believe it's 100% true what he says about governments covering things up because of political correctness.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And your friend saw this today with you know, she's saying people are being shot in the streets. Here's how to protect yourself in times of civil unrest. And she gets called a racist.
Yeah.
You know,
she's honestly just trying to help, gave very practical advice. She's very smart about this stuff. And people just, all they saw was that. They just made assumptions and it turned it into this big fear mongering. You're a racist. We're reporting you. Yep. Turned it into something it wasn't at all.
And you know what else, though, too? I will say, I think that Facebook's algorithms have a racial agenda because. Mm-hmm. Everything I share gets some likes and some comments. I shared this today, and I think it's because his name is in a list somewhere on Facebook. There was only one person saw it out of the 1,000 people, the friends I have, you know?
Yeah, I didn't see it until you sent me a link to it, and right. I usually don't miss very much.
I know. You comment on everything I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I definitely would have been interested in that one.
So I'm basically interested in, there shouldn't be power structures that rule over people, whether they're governments or racists.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
What you reading, Lisa?
I'm reading about this fella character, Mr. Samuel Jared Taylor, that we were just listening to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm reading about what he says about immigration.
It's pretty funny. Read it, please.
Yeah. Taylor has also given support to Hans Hermann Hoppe's attempts to persuade libertarians to oppose immigration. He generally approves of Hoppe's work, although he sees the pursuit of a society with no government at all to be the sort of experiment one might prefer to watch in a foreign country before attempting it oneself.
I kind of like that. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny because it's like... It's not completely dismissing it. It's not completely embracing it. And it's like one step better than what a lot of people say, which is, you know, libertarianism would be great if it didn't involve actual humans, you know, like, yeah. Like, yeah, I like the idea of it, but it would never work. He's kind of like, might work, probably wouldn't, but let's let someone else ruin their life with it. And then if it works, we'll try it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah,
like
you didn't bring up roads. I can't believe it. Who would build the roads? Go to Somalia. Yeah, that quote is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what to make of this guy, because it seems like if anyone, he would be like, oh, no, we need government to keep everybody separate.
I know. But a lot of small government people are kind of racist. Like, there were actually white supremacists that backed Ron Paul. And the reason they did was because... You know, true libertarians don't believe in things like, you know, laws that force you to let people of other races into your store. Whereas I think I like the idea of everyone who's racist should be openly racist, because then you know who to avoid, you know?
Yeah.
Like with this whole thing of like, I'm reporting you and getting your Facebook, you know, I want them on the internet. I want to be able to see them. I want to know their real names, you know, so I don't buy things from them, so I don't support them. But
right, yeah, yeah. I told her to block them. I was like, you don't want to associate these people. What good are they going to do? They're just going to cause you trouble. But yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That it, on second thought, it does make sense that he would maybe think that way, because then he wouldn't be forced to associate with anyone.
Right.
And he mentioned, I think, later down in the article, or maybe it was in the beginning, about, oh yeah, he said people in general, if left to themselves, will generally sort themselves out by race, and has said that churches, schools, and neighborhoods are examples of this. So I think his mindset might be, well, you know, if we didn't have government forcing us to associate, we would all just kind of separate anyway.
You know, it's kind of funny. Yeah, I mean, I can see why someone like this wouldn't want much government, because there's not a government in the world that doesn't force people by one extent or another to, you know, do things, bake the cake, basically, to, like, you know, associate with people they don't want to associate with. And really, the most racist example, and this is the kind of stuff that gets you kicked off of the air, but I'm going to say it because it's true. It's blatantly true. Israel is one of two countries in the world that has a racial or a bloodline component to the requirements for citizenship.
Yeah, and that's,
I think the other is Zimbabwe. It's one of the African countries. I know that. But yeah, like Israel is really racial about who can live in Israel. But, you know, Zionist, and Zionist is not a dirty word. Like, there are Israel, you know, people who call themselves Zionists. Zionist just means you believe in Israel. You want Israel to thrive. Zionist Jews generally are also, they're very into that idea of, like, you have to be of Jewish blood to be a citizen of Israel. Actually, you automatically can get citizen. Any one that can prove Jewish lineage can go live in Israel and be a citizen there. But Zionist Jews are often very into multiculturalism and open borders in Europe and America. Like, they want it everywhere except Israel, you know?
Yeah, Taylor has said that. He's pointed that out before.
Yeah, so and that's why I'm bringing this up. Like, mm-hmm. like the stuff these guys say that are true, that's true. The thing about governments, you know, hiding statistics about racial things, which those statistics I would explain with different things than he does. Like, he goes on to crazy stuff, like explaining them by head sizes and shapes and DNA. And like,
oh,
no,
that.
That's, you know, phrenology was discredited 160 years ago. Right. And that's where, you know, but it, what is it like? People, you know, mixing the big lie, like you tell a bunch of truths and then put in some lies and people believe it all. And that's a really common thing. And this, the, these guys do it all the time. We'll be back.
Yeah, that's really common.
We'll be back to disprove race, racial, scientific racism. That's the term that people like Jared Taylor use. It's pseudoscience and facts and charts to try to prove racial, racist theories. It's BS. What it comes down to is really there's not much genetic difference. It's like a black cat and a white cat. Really, that's the difference in people genetically.
Yeah.
It's all because of governments. It's all
of course,
governments.
It always
man.
Is. Yeah. It always is.
That's why there's still racism. Because
this show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
You got the intro?
Oh, yeah.
Of the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
It's time.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting to the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit ISS. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the Artemis satellite. Yeah, Beast. Libpair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, so we're Beast. That's my cat. So we're discussing scientific racism, which is pseudoscience. We were talking in the first hour, we played a clip from this avuncular, kindly old gentle, scholarly looking sounding gentleman named Jared Taylor, who's all the rage with the ex-libertarians that now want Trump. You know, this guy has the mid-Atlantic accent, which I swear they teach. I mean, he went to Yale, like, oh, well, over yes, we were playing croquet. We're playing croquet in the quad. You know, it kind of sounds like a cross between like a Southern and an English accent somehow, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Jeffrey Tucker it's has like it, but I think Jeffrey Tucker and Jared Taylor, I think they're both consciously or subconsciously trying to imitate Cuckley, William F. Cuckley. I mean, Buckley, sorry. Actually, cuck is a term that originates from the alt-right, from these guys. Like, it's basically, they used to say, like, race traitor, and now they say cuck. So, were you getting a little seduced by this guy during the break? Like, you were reading his site, and like, some of this makes sense, weren't you?
I was curious, so I clicked over to his website to look around, and I can stay pretty objective, and it takes a lot.
You're
to
a smart lady, and you're a
I
race
try.
Mixer. You're a race mixer. They would
I
say.
I am a race mixer.
Yeah,
I am.
Your kid and is half Korean, right?
Oh yeah, you know what? One of my kids is yeah. The other one is she. The other one could live in Israel. Let's put it that way.
Wow, cool.
Yeah,
because yeah, it spreads through the mother, though. I don't know, though. I'm wondering if it spreads through the mother. Because it used to be you had to prove, to get into Israel, you had to prove it through your mother's lineage because people know who the mother is. They don't know who the father is. But now with DNA, I wonder if you can, like if you're an orphan, I wonder if you can get in, if you can prove Jewish lineage with, you know, 23andMe, which is how I find out I'm 164th black.
Yeah, but, I should have my daughter do that test to see.
Yeah.
Just curious because, yeah.
Hey, you know what? In this day and age, it would never hurt to be able to have a dual passport, I think, of any country, right. any country except North
no
Korea.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I should find out for her. I'm really curious now. Yeah, she's got lineage on both of her paternal grandparents' sides from
So Israel. You were reading this mm-hmm. race realism and getting sucked in, or it sounded, what happened? Did any of it make sense to you somehow?
I looked at his website and which is should I say the name?
Yeah.
American Renaissance. And so there's supposed testimonials on here from people who are Black who now agree with him, and they'll say, actually, I don't know how I came across that. I think it might have been links in the Wikipedia page, but there are people who have said, you know what, I think that he's right. And one of them said that she was relieved when she finally, you know, really accepted his viewpoint on things, because she always felt like the system was trying to hold her back, you know, as a Black person. She's from Nigeria.
Fiend
she always
foam.
Felt like, oh, it's the system trying to hold me back, but this helped her realize that's not actually the case.
Okay, first of all, I don't know if I believe that something allegedly written by a Nigerian either. Woman on Jared Taylor's website's really, he probably wrote it, maybe, but
right,
I don't know.
I would have to look into that.
Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, there are, you know, an example would be like, there's a lot of, you know, Hispanic Americans that are in favor of, like, limits on immigration, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ones that were born here, or especially ones that, like, I had to jump through all the hoops. No one should be able to jump over the fence. You know, that kind of, I've heard that a lot.
I don't like that argument at all.
I don't either, because I don't like the hoops.
Right. I would think that anybody who's had to go through all that would want it to be easier for other people. That argument makes it sound like a bratty little kid who's like, she doesn't have it.
It's the crabs in the bucket. You know the crabs in the bucket theory, right? Like, they always try to pull them. Yeah. You're from Maryland. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You know what? Mark Edge says it really well. Like, he says, like, it's not an immigrant problem anywhere in the world. It's a welfare problem. Like, basically, mm-hmm. eliminate all government welfare and this problem goes away. Like, the only people that come into a country then, I would say get rid of governments, you know, but at least if you want to do it, take a minarchist attitude, like, get rid of welfare of all kinds, including corporate welfare and mm-hmm. personal welfare, and get rid of, you know, like, basically let anyone be armed who wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds crazy to people, like, let immigrants in and let them have guns. No, but it's like a lot of these places, like, you know, like he's saying, like, and our women in Europe are being raped. Like, who, you and the mouse in your pocket? Like, the our women, the our women theory basically implies that women are helpless and weak and need to be defended. That's not true when they can be armed. You know, and it's absolutely true that a lot of Middle Eastern countries have a culture of, like, you know, you can treat women in ways that aren't acceptable in Europe and America. So it's not and even saying that is, like, racist. That's not untrue. That's absolutely true. You know,
yep, it is true.
It's absolutely true. I mean, people, I know Muslims who've lived in Saudi Arabia who confirm that's true about the Middle East, you know.
Yeah,
the thing I'm saying,
women friendly.
Hey,
guys.
What's up? Hey, so they're finished tweaking your internets there, internuts in your neighborhood.
Beat my service provider about the head and neck area until they finally turned it back on.
Oh, you were on the phone this whole time?
No, I yelled at him for a little while, and then magically it went from probably not till 5 o'clock, sir, until all of a sudden 2 o'clock it turned back on. So.
I don't think they did it for you. I think it just came back on.
I was just lucky.
So welcome back. So
what I missed?
Them Arabs are grabby with the women. Is that what you're saying, Jeremy?
from what I've been told from people who have been over there, yeah. Well, they don't really respect them the way that somebody like you or I would. So they, you know, a lot of
I want women on a pedestal, just high enough to look up their skirt.
Yeah. I am right there with you, sir.
But yeah, I don't grab them in public ever.
No, I don't.
Secretly.
They grab me.
That happens.
I can't resist. Yeah, I get messages on Facebook from people from other countries who are, like, there's no boundaries.
Boundaries, yeah.
Yeah,
stopped. Like, whoa, Space I've Invader. Stopped accepting friend requests from most people in Africa. That sounds racist, but here's how it goes. someone in Africa sends me a friend request on Facebook, I accept it. Then they start trying to instant message with me. It's incredibly slow because they're using, you know, Wi-Fi. They're using like pay by the hour, cheap, crappy internet because no one has, which I don't blame. It's like, you know, they don't have it at home. So they have to go to a place and pay money to use it. And it's really slow. They're typing really, really slow. It's like, hello, Michael. And then I start talking to them and like within four and each back and forth with them takes like 5 minutes. And I'm like, or like two or three minutes for each, for them to type a sentence to get back to me. And I'm like, I got stuff to do. I don't know you. What do you, I don't want to wait for this with a window open, interrupting me. And like, finally, I'm like, okay, you know, maybe there's someone who heard us on the LRN satellite. They're seeking liberty. I'm going to help them out. You know, I'll talk to them. But then like, they invariably ask me for money within like
yes,
5 minutes.
Every time. And it's, I knew you were going to say that.
And I'm not saying it's a scam. It's like those people are so broke over there. And I have done some outreach for some people in Africa who are libertarians who, like, I know are not scammers. I know people who've gone over and worked with them, you know, but it's like, I kind of, maybe I've got a name for like, oh, like maybe I'm in the directory on the wall in the internet cafe of like Americans that have given money to, you know, I mean, I sent like $500 worth of used gear that I didn't need anymore that I could have sold easily for $500 on eBay to Africa one time. And then like my dad got involved and got his Rotary International Club involved and like sent the same people like, you know, $1,000 and then Rotary matched it $1,000. So I probably am on a list of people who I mean, that's like more than people make in a year in Africa in a lot of places.
Yeah. Well, yes, Jeremy? Are you saying that in these internet cafes or whatever they are over there, instead of
we lose them,
it says there's your number, your contact information that says for freedom, call this guy.
Instead of what? For a good time call?
You cut out instead of for a good time call, it says for freedom, call this guy. It's got a picture of your face, you know.
Well, I mean, I could see how someone, yeah, probably. I could see how someone would ask for money of a Westerner. I mean, like literally like, you know, what I am not rich by any means, you know, but I'll like be on, I'll be like, oh, maybe I'll buy this mic stand. It's better than the mic stand I have. And like, you know, without having to debate or look at my wallet or anything or my bank, like I'll spend, you know, $30 on a microphone. It's like $30 in Africa would like feed you for a month, literally, you know? And so I can see why they would think, oh, Michael, for a good time, for liberty. And you can't really talk to a man about liberty while he's got an empty stomach. You know?
Yeah. I get messages too. They wanted me to help with an orphanage. And I'm like, oh, I want to do that. Because I'm a sucker for kids, you know? And I'm like, oh, I want to do this. But is this legit? Am I going to end up with my bank account drained? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, do you have PayPal? LRN is like, now. Here, this will make all the race realists happy. And Ian Freeman's going to kill me for saying this. I'm making a joke. So LRN. And he's not a racist in any way, although he needs to get out more, because I heard him say today, he meant to say, yeah, and it says hashtag blah, blah, blah. And he said, it says pound sign, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, really?
What?
Come on, grandpa. Oh. I know that's hashtag.
Wow, I'm not feeling so old right now.
I know. He's younger than us, but he said pound sign instead of hashtag. So, LRN, the one of the networks run, that does satellite, but they get us out in the world on satellites. So let me just say that really, you know, without explaining a whole lot. LRN.fm, a lot of you are probably listening to us on LRN.fm right now if you're not listening on radio. So LRN.fm like does fundraisers and puts in his own money to get KU band satellites. And he has one over Africa, but over North America, but now he's getting one over Europe. So all the race realists will be happy that their people are being served.
Oh, man.
So this thing that I was talking earlier about, this guy, Jim Goad, you know, who's kind of like a, well, we'll talk about it when we get back, about Jim Goad, the guy who wrote the Redneck Manifesto.
Redneck or Redneck?
Redneck.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Is spreading the message of liberty and peace around the globe worth 15 cents per day to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. Last year, we did a fundraiser that successfully covered the costs of continuing our African channel. This year, we're hoping to raise enough to fund a new satellite signal that will cover Europe, North Africa, and much of the Middle East. You can donate as much or as little as you like via the Indiegogo campaign at fund.lrn.fm. And there are perks available like sitting in on your favorite LRN.fm show, exclusive shiny badges, or even naming a satellite channel. Please contribute now at fund.lrn.fm and help us continue our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. The fundraiser ends August 19th, so please visit fund.lrn.fm today and thank you for your help. That's fund.lrn.fm.
It's Freedom Fiends. She sounds frustrated, Lisa, like you didn't get to finish what you're saying during the break. Do you want to share it with the whole class?
Well, we were just talking about internet providers. And how you can call, you know, customer service and get somebody really good who's really helpful and listens to you. And then you can call another time and get somebody who doesn't listen and interrupts you, assumes they know what you want. They don't listen to what you're saying. So it's just like roulette. You don't know who you're going to get when you call.
You do better in the middle of the night, though, because that's when the nerds are working.
Oh,
unless you're calling India, and then they're all nerds generally.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's racist. That's racist.
It's a theme.
You know what's racist is the Holocaust Museum telling people they don't want people capturing Pokemon there. That happened. How is that inclusive? I'm kidding. That's a bad joke.
Someone made a joke and said,
Pikachu. Pikachu. The reason was that one of the Pokemon's There's a hall of like an exhibit about the gas chambers, and there's a Pikachu that's a like toxic gas cloud that appeared in that room. Yeah.
Oh no. Oh.
Really?
That's too soon? Yes, too soon. Yeah. All right. So.
Always.
So. So I was talking about we're talking about race realism, and I know that you didn't really get seduced by this, but some of the some of the ideas come off as kind of palatable because the people are really like mellow and calm and sound academic, and they sound like your, you know, uncle or something, or your grandfather, and they don't use the N-word and they don't yell and some of what they say is true. And then they mix in a bunch of BS, and people who believe the true parts and go, yeah, no one talks about that, start believing the BS parts when they start talking about, you know, head shapes and sizes and DNA and stuff. And last night, Steve, we were playing this game last night called Social Justice Warrior or Stormfront Social Justice Warrior, yes. which is made to show how much stuff that racists say sounds like stuff that, like, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, white racists and like Black Lives Matter or Hillary supporters say. It's extraordinarily similar. What?
Well, that's part of what was it, the horseshoe effect? Is that what it's called?
Where you go so far you come back to be what you're against. Yeah. Well, it's all what it all comes down to is like those are both organizations that want to seize the power structure and have power over everybody because they think that they would wield it ethically, which is the problem
laughable.
With power structures. You know, there's this guy I was talking about, Jim Goad, who wrote the Redneck Manifesto. He said some stuff. It was like the first political book I read. I read it like 20 years ago, and it was really a weird introduction to like thinking about politics to me, because the one thing that stood out the most to it was he said that racism is a construct created by people in power to keep the blacks and whites from uniting and killing them. And I think this is true. And I think it used to be the power was white man. And now the power is it's power. It's rich people. It's powerful people. It's, you know, it's a black woman can be the man now. You know, Hillary can be the man. Like that's like they haven't got rid of the power structure. They've just everyone's got, you know, you can be from any side and have it now. But the little man, the little woman still doesn't have any. And the example he gave was he said that the black man working on the line in a factory has more in common with, or the white man working in the line in the factory has more in common with the black guy next to him working with him than the white man has with the white owner of the factory. And that sounded like socialism to me. I didn't really grok it. But think about it. And it's like, it's really true. It's absolutely true. You know, power is the thing that corrupts. And money doesn't necessarily corrupt, but it tends in this world that the people that have money tend to be corrupt. And then there's this whole, like, you know, the new billionaires, like the people in Silicon Valley who think they're ethical and think they can solve racism with an app or something. Yeah. They mean well, but they're embarrassed to be rich, and they always say, like, you know, they never say, like, and this, they will make a crap load of money with this app. They say, like, we'll change the world and make it a better place. They make that joke constantly in that show Silicon Valley, making the world a better place, like that's in everyone's pitch to the venture capitalists, and it's in every speech by every CEO. It's kind of true.
Yeah.
So Jim, Steve Miller made a joke last night about freedom fiends or phrenology. Like that would be an alternate to Stormfront or Social Justice Warrior. Phrenology being the discredited 160 years ago, like measurement of skulls among race, different races. That is like having a resurgence with these Jared Taylor type people, with these race realists. Like, it's kind of like the flat earthism of DNA. But thing is, it's harder to disprove to the average person than the flat earth. Like, to disprove flat earth, get on an airplane or listen to a radio show like you're listening to now, coming over a satellite that's, you know, orbiting the earth that would crash in.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yeah. You got it.
Right on top of that, Rose.
Worms. All right. We're getting into the deep worms here. First of all, I do want to say some mad scientists. I'm going to read what a scientist told me today. But first, I'm going to talk some other mad science. That the URL for the fundraiser for the LRN's European white satellite. I'm kidding. The satellite over Europe to bring us to people in Europe is, well, apparently Europe's not very white anymore, which is one of the complaints of Jared Taylor. So everybody in Europe, all the races mixing as one, can enjoy the freedom thing. Because that's what we make it for. We make it for everybody, the racists and the mixers and everyone in between. So fund.lrn.fm. That's FUD fund.lrn.fm. If you want to, I think he actually made an ad that we're going to be playing later in the podcast that sounds like a Help the Children in Africa ad. It's like, would you be willing to pay a day to help spread liberty throughout the world? I like it. Scientific racism is not scientific. So I talked to Kevin McKernan today. I asked him about this stuff. Now, before people say, oh, well, he's a DNA scientist. That all comes from the government. No, here's the thing. Kevin McKernan came to voluntarism through the Freedom Fiends. He used to be a small government Ron Paul-y type at one point, and years ago here in the early Freedom Fiends, like, got him. We hooked him. We changed him.
So you built that?
I built that. Kevin McKernan is a DNA scientist, and I'm not... I don't mean he's like a guy who reads some books. He was one of the people on the Human Genome Project. The only like state criteria I could give you for this guy is he was one of about 15 people that were flown to the White House to be honored by the president at the time.
Wow.
For participation in the Human Genome Project.
That's neat.
Yeah, he also sequenced the DNA of the marijuana genome. He was the first person to do that. Whoa. And he patented it and open sourced the patent to keep it from being monopolized by big pharma or governments.
Nice.
Now that's cool.
So this guy, cool. And this guy runs a company that basically helps like use DNA testing to find better targeted treatments for cancer and other life-threatening drugs. And he runs a new company that genotypes marijuana strains so people can like guarantee like this strain is what it says it is. Which is kind of interesting.
Everybody tell me about that. Yeah. That's so extremely
he knows his
interesting
stuff.
To me.
Wow.
So I asked him some questions about the scientific racism stuff. He got irritated when I first asked. He's like, man, that's that stuff Molyneux's always talking about. I'm not down with it. It's all BS. And I'm like, yeah, I know it is, but I want to know why, you know. And he answered my questions, but it was interesting. It was kind of like, you know, if I'd asked him like, why are short people short? I'm short. Why does my DNA make me short? He would have talked for an hour gladly about it. But you ask, you know, like you ask a DNA scientist about scientific racism, quote unquote, and they're just, I mean, it's like asking a scientist, you know, prove to me the earth isn't flat. Why? How do you know? You know? So he explained this stuff to me. Okay, here's the main thing. There's these things called SNPs, stands for single nucleotide polymorphism. It's basically the differences in DNA. So the DNA of any two randomly picked people on this planet has 99.9% in common. The like 0.1% that's different makes up everything, you know, from your hair color to your eye color to your skin color to, you know, how you deal with various diseases to your height to your weight to everything that makes you you, that's not specifically dictated by environment. Okay. Of those ones, of the 4 million variants that humans have in that 1% or 0.1%, there's about 4 million SNPs different that can be different. There's 4 million in there. 6 of those dictate skin color.
Wow.
So that's how tiny a thing race is. It's nothing. It's like your height has a lot more to do with who you are than your skin color. Now, do you guys know why slaves were black in America and other places?
No.
So you could tell them when they escaped. Period. That's it. It's they had white slaves. They had indentured servants. They tried white slaves in America. But when they escaped, you know, they didn't have like computer chips then. They didn't have an internet. They didn't have telephones. They barely had a postal system. You know, somebody found in another state could just say, I'm a free man if they're white. You know, so what they did was they made it so if you're black and in your America, you're a slave, you know, so they could be spotted on sight.
Wow,
it just made it easy. Yeah. And to like to keep that up and like to be able to actually like keep your fellow man in chains and working for you, they had to like dehumanize them. So that's where all the lies and everything came from. And of course, like, you know, they weren't allowed to read. They weren't this, you know, they didn't have the participation level even after being freed that white people had. So yeah, they scored lower on IQ tests. They weren't able to perform simple, you know, mental tasks that other people were when they weren't given the background that white people were. So
yeah, they were stunted.
Yeah, stunted by society. I mean, yep. It was literally illegal to teach a slave to read. Did you guys know that?
No.
That I did. I had heard that.
We did. Nima and I did a My brown, strong brother, young brother, Nima Vidati, and I once did a show of the Freedom Fiends called Teaching the Slaves to Read. And the premise was, you know, that's how it was then. And now everyone can read, but they don't want you to, like, read things that are the truth, you know? They don't want you to listen to shows that tell you, hey, the power structure is the problem, race isn't the problem. They're trying to turn races against each other because they want to keep the power structure in power, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
There's, yeah. And there's also, the problem is, though, there's a lot of, like, BS mixed in with the truthful power structure stuff. Like, you know, the truthers and the chemtrailers and the 9/11, like, all, you know, all that stuff that's the government has sprayed, governments have sprayed chemicals on people before, even in America, but they're not, that's not a chemtrail that you see, you know, up in the sky right now. That's a contrail that blew in the wind.
Yeah.
So people get confused.
But there's so many more of them, Michael. Did you see them?
I'm also
you don't remember that when you were a kid, do you, Michael?
I've never seen anything like that.
I do remember it.
Ever.
You've never. There was only a couple of them when they were a kid, Michael.
You know, I think that a lot of problematic behavior in people. I think it's got a lot more to do with environment than genetics in a lot of places. Oh, the other thing he told me is that there is no intelligence gene that has been found, which is pretty bizarre because that's one of the things they've looked the hardest for, and they found genes for pretty much everything else. Like, they found the gene that determines whether, like, antihistamines work well or not in you.
Wow.
I mean, that's a thing. There's a gene for almost everything. There's not a gene for intelligence that can be identified as this is the intelligence gene. And they've also, like, looked for it everywhere, including next to, you know, the six particles that determine race, and it's not there.
Interesting.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
So, race is less of a thing than, like, the color of your cats, or it's about as much of a thing as the color of your cats. But, you know, humanity has made a thing about it. You know, I'll say it right out. I'm calmer living in Wyoming, which is mostly white, than I was living in Los Angeles, which is a racial tension boiling pot. You know, and some people would say that's racist. Like, no, you should want to live among all races. I didn't like getting mad dogged for walking down my street with a black girl on my arm. I've had that happen. Yeah, I've had death threats for doing that. I've had death threats for walking down the street and being white in my neighborhood. I didn't like that. That doesn't happen where I live now. But it's racist to say that.
I've never had experienced any of that because I've always lived in this. I lived in this area, and then I lived in a part of Virginia that was really, really diverse. So, like, my high school
Arlington.
Was probably like, no, I was in Virginia Beach area. So I was actually, you know, more of a minority there.
You're talking about white and black mixed, right?
I was
thinking white and Asian, which is Arlington.
Oh, Asian, yeah, that would be Arlington.
When I was there in the 80s, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, you know why? It's mostly Vietnamese because after the Vietnam War, part of the reparations of the U.S. rape of Vietnam, and yeah, it was a horrible thing what the U.S. did to that country.
Yes, it was.
Part of it was they let a lot of them come here. And gave them, you know, like, no interest business loans. And that's, you know, when they wouldn't do that with, like, white people that grew up in that area. And that's something that drives people nuts. But it's like, also, you know, when you've got, like, a government that's, you know, dropping poison and bombs and shooting and killing, you know. I know, here's what I was going to say. I was going to talk about how, what I started saying about how I think a lot of, like, problems that people have are more environmental than mental. Like, I dated a girl who was part Vietnamese, whose dad was from Vietnam, and he fought on the Vietnamese, like, on the American side in the Vietnam War, and he got caught by the Viet Cong and thrown in a tiger cage, you know, for 3 years or something, and, like, was tortured and was crazy. Like, I've met the guy, he was crazy. And because of it, she was kind of crazy and, like, almost, like, raised herself. Like, she was genius, like, scholarships all the way through college, like, you know, advanced placement college, you know, high school stuff. But she, like, I remember standing with her in Los Angeles one time and she pointed at a contrail, what's the real one? Contrail or chemtrail?
Contrail.
She pointed at a contrail and she was like, oh, look, you can see the satellites right now. And I'm like, that's not a satellite. And she's like, what is it? I'm like, it's the condensation coming out of a jet airplane. And she's like, really? Like, my dad told me that when I was five. You know, I know what a contrail is because my dad told me when I asked him. Like, her dad probably said, like, and, like, ran under the kitchen table. Yeah. Like, he was that crazy, you know? So, right. Yeah, so.
Well, it could be. You never know.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Jeremy?
Well, no, I was making a joke because, like you said earlier, it has
been
done.
Jump in here. I'm saying jump in, brother.
I just say, like you said before, it has been done in the past, and they have sprayed stuff recently for other, you know, for other reasons.
Oh, they sprayed flu virus in the 50s over cities. That's fact too.
Gay government.
Arms. Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon. Your house is your property.
Snips.
I don't like the sound. That word just bothers me.
Snips.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're thinking of. It's like a cat fixed or a human. Well,
yeah,
I was talking about single nucleotide polymorphisms. It's actually pronounced snips, not SNPS. So snips. Snips are what make you what you are. So another thing is scientific racism BS is IQ test stuff. And this is something Molyneux really loves to talk about, how like white people do better than black people on IQ tests. Most IQ tests are racially biased. That's been true for a long time, but they're also, IQ tests are largely based on knowledge more than intelligence. And IQ tests are kind of, they're not debunked, but they're not the be all end all that they are. Now, it should be pointed out and said that I have an IQ of 143, which is genius. But, you know, except for me, IQs don't mean a whole lot. I like it. So here's Kevin's thing too, like that not only that, but also that like intelligence isn't one thing. Like it is, you know, it's ability to use language, ability to solve problems, ability to use tools, ability to think abstractly, you know, creativity. It's a lot of things, and a lot of people are strong in one place and not another. I'm really weak in mathematics. I've never done well in mathematics. You know, it's probably because I'm a little bit dyslexic, but I'm just really bad at mathematics. It's why I didn't go into science. I wanted to be a scientist as a kid, but I just didn't have the math chops for it. But Kevin points out, like, you don't buy a computer just because of the RAM. It's like the RAM, the processor, the network card, you know, it's everything together makes intelligence.
The whole is greater than the sum of its parts, like, deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I've always said.
Well, you're also, well, I mean, the math thing, at least from what I, you know, I looked into this stuff years ago. It's been a while since I remember Molyneux talking about it before I finally gave up on him completely. But from what I remember, like, because you're more of a, what I guess you could call like an artsy person anyway, right? Because you're more driven towards stuff like that, creativity. Is more your thing, and that's more usually more like what they call the left side of the brain. The right side is the more analytical side.
I thought it was the other way around, but I can never remember. But I
might be wrong. I thought
that's
the way it was.
I don't have to know that stuff. I'm an artist. I don't have to know that.
Well, see, exactly.
But it's also not. That's kind of an old model too, and it's not as cut and dried.
Oh no, I'm sure it's more much more complex than that. Like I said, that's the rudimentary stuff I remember getting into years ago.
But there's also like another side of racism theory is the theory that that Neanderthals, which are either a separate species or a subspecies of Homo sapiens, depends who you talk to, like interbred with humans and got absorbed with humans at some point. And there's a theory that they brought language and tool making in, and, you know, which is a big part of intelligence, those two things. And that they existed in Europe, but not in Africa. So, you know, that's a scientific racism theory for backing that, you know, Europeans are more intelligent than African, you know, genetically mostly African people. And another thing is, like, everybody is part some other race. There's very few pure of any single, you know, derivation anymore. But Kevin says that paleogenomics, which is the study of, like, you know, caveman DNA, basically. He said it's a really young science. It's still finding itself, and it's making really large claims on really thin data. Like Bill Bryson, in one of his books, and he's, you know, he's a thinker and he believes in evolution, as you should. But he points out that, like, every primitive human, you know, pre-modern human bone that's ever been found, like the whole basis of the entire everything we know about, you know, genomics of and like evolution, like all of that, all of those bones that have ever been found on this earth would fit in like the back of two pickup trucks piled kind of high. Yeah. And like there are like species like Denisovians that have been like defined on a single finger bone, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So it's science, and it's not pseudoscience, but it's really incomplete science.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
They've only there's so many things they don't know.
Kevin says they've sequenced nearly a million living people, and they haven't found an intelligence gene yet.
That is really interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah, and they have like 10 paleogenomic samples. Like there are like 10 samples of, you know, early man DNA, because it's hard to find that stuff. It doesn't last, you know, that long.
Yeah, you gotta imagine it.
All right, so people, love each other. Don't believe the power structure, but don't be politically correct. And, you know, prep. Have a gun.
Yes.
Stay out of trouble.
Have a few.
Have a few.
Have a few.